Welcome to Alabama Short Stories, when you're a little behind on your Alabama history. I'm your host, Sean Wright. I have always enjoyed visiting a psychic from an entertainment perspective. I'm not sure I believe what they tell me, but I always enjoy a good story and I'm curious to see if any predictions come true. It's much the same way I enjoy buying a lottery ticket and seeing if I win a prize. My parents went to visit a psychic that was recommended to them when they were visiting Atlanta. The woman told my father she saw a company car in his future. Dad immediately blew off that suggestion. That was not a perk he would have received as a creative director of a regional ad agency. Months later, the agency president was ready to turn in his company lease car, and Dad bought it from him. In the end, my father did get his company car. Now, I've only visited a couple of psychics, but the last one I visited told me they saw a light shining on a petite blonde woman I would marry. I immediately discarded that prediction, since I had only been involved with tall and average height brunettes up to that time. A petite blonde was so far out of my type that I didn't think much more about it. Imagine my surprise when I married a petite blonde at least 5 inches shorter than anyone I had ever dated. Did she really see a petite blonde in my future? Was it a 50-50 guess? Who knows and who cares? I got my money's worth out of that visit. You may think it's odd to seek out a psychic and have your fortune read, but they're all around us. Just take a look at television programming. Teresa Caputo is better known for her TLC show, Long Island Medium. She's known for her unique hairstyle as much as her predictions. There's Tyler Henry, the Hollywood medium, Gen Z's own psychic, who has a host of celebrity friends and a show on Netflix where he reads their fortunes. The most famous psychic of the 1990s was Miss Cleo. She had a Jamaican accent, wore colorful outfits, and her catchphrase was "Call me now," which seems to have been co-opted by attorney Alexander Shannara. She once worked for the Psychic Readers Network, a call-in network where you could be connected with your psychic anytime, day or night. Psychics, mediums, prophets, clairvoyants, whatever you want to call them, they've been around as long as time. Even today, believers in prophecy refer back to the predictions of mid-16th century French physician Nostradamus, whose vague predictions are applied to modern events repeatedly. And don't get me wrong, it would be very easy to make fun of these prophets and psychics, and that is not my goal with this episode of Alabama Short Stories. Yes, there are plenty of charlatans out there, but one woman from Alabama made it difficult to ignore. Her name is Irene Teal. Irene Van Zandt, better known as Rena, was born on April 8, 1894 near Rockford, Alabama. She was born with a veil over her face. In the culture of the time, it was believed that children born this way would have good luck and be destined for greatness. It was also thought that the child would be born with a sixth sense. Now, this type of birth is also called an on-call birth, where the baby is born encased in their amniotic sac. It's a safe but rare instance where the mother's water never broke. In the case of Irene Van Zandt, it might have explained her talent later in life. When Rena was younger, she always had a knack for finding Easter eggs during egg hunts. She knew where misplaced items were and where to locate the hunting dogs that had run off. These instincts stood out to her father. Rena's talent first came to life when she was a young girl. Her parents had three more children, and when the youngest, George, was 6 weeks old, Rena became distraught. For days, she was convinced that her seemingly healthy younger brother would die. Her mother could not persuade her that George was fine, but a few days later, he became ill and died suddenly. Her father worried about this talent for predicting the future. Fortune tellers were not thought well of, and he didn't want her to live outside the community. As a teenager, she tried to keep her talent a secret, wanting to be like everyone else. She went so far as to ask a local physician what was wrong with her. All the doctor could say was she had a sixth sense. In 1912, Irene Van Zandt married Ben Teal at her family's Coosa County home. She first met Teal when they attended the same school a decade earlier. He and his family had moved away, but he had recently returned to live with his aunt and uncle and started courting Irene. They quickly started a family, and one night, Ben woke up to find Rena crying. She told him about a dream she had where she visited her parents. Her mother asked about her baby, and Rena replied that she had no baby, a dream similar to what happened to her little brother George. 9 days later, Rena's son died unexpectedly. In 1917, the Teals moved to Millerville, located in Clay County. She lived in what could be called downtown on Highway 9, directly across from Alwyn White's grocery store. Somewhere along the way, Rena used her sixth sense to help others and to start a small business to earn a little money. She became one of the most popular fortune tellers or psychic readers, or whatever you want to call it, east of the Mississippi. The rumor was that the only reason Highway 9 was paved was due to the amount of traffic to her front door. She would charge a small amount, maybe a dime, for everyday readings. Most times, it was to help people find the mundane, such as missing livestock or personal items. Other times, it was for romantic advice, to find out who they would marry and if they should marry a particular person. Her clients came from all walks of life. Bootleggers, ex-convicts, farmers, business leaders, and everyday people called on Miss Rena. Some of Rena's predictions were impressive. Once when traveling through Talladega, she noticed a scaffolding had been erected for a prisoner to be hung for the rape of a girl. Rena was convinced that the accused was innocent, and she wanted her friend, who lived in Talladega, to go to the judge and stop the execution. She refused because she did not want to get involved and did not want the victim's family to turn on her. 2 years after the execution, the girl's uncle confessed to the crime on his deathbed. Some people believe that fortune-telling is evil and a gift from the devil. As a devout Baptist, Rena was also conflicted, but she did feel that her gift was from God and was helping people. As a nod to her faith, she would not offer her services on the Sabbath. She heard that a local Methodist minister was preaching in a revival tent against fortune-telling. The Teals heard about it and asked him to preach it again. They went to the revival the next day and sat up front. When the sermon ended, they got up, walked out, and never spoke to the minister again. Some of her predictions were simple but still helpful. When one man asked for help finding his billfold, she told him that the man who took it was dishonest and he would not get it back. That's a 50-50 call on that prediction, but she was right. He never got it back. Authorities were searching for a boy who had gone fishing, and when they had trouble finding him, they turned to Ms. Rena. She told them he drowned and where to locate his body. She was correct. There is the story of a woman who wanted advice on marrying a man she was dating. Ms. Irene told her not to do it, and because you can't tell young people in love what they don't want to hear, she married him anyway. She became a widow not long after. She also foresaw the actions of a local man, Wilbur Stewart. She had a premonition that Stewart was going to kill his younger cousin. She told the boy's father to keep him away from Stewart, but he declined. Stewart did kill the boy. And in a similar situation, she confronted a man and begged him not to kill another man. He was stunned and confessed to her that he was going to kill another man. She convinced him to turn around and not to do it. Barbara Waits, a senior at Rockford High School in 1956, visited Ms. Rena. Rena told her that she would marry soon after graduation and have 4 grandsons. That prediction was met with disbelief. Waits was an ambitious and successful student. She had plans to go to work and buy a car after graduation. Soon after, she was set up on a blind date with Julian Sharp. They hit it off and married that fall. And as of 2008, the two had been married 52 years and had 4 grandchildren. And not all of Ms. Rena's predictions came true. In 1943, she offered readings to all the seniors at Graves High School. One boy, who was 16, asked her if he would be drafted when he turned 18. It was the height of World War II, after all. Rena told him no, he would not. Well, when he turned 18, he was not only drafted into the Army and served 2 years, but he was recalled for Korea since he was in the reserves. Lester Carr never believed what Ms. Rena said, but he did admit to stopping by her place before he went rabbit hunting. He would not go hunting if he was told that he would not kill anything that day. Rena Till's greatest skill was the ability to locate things such as a missing watch, a missing donkey, or a child who wandered off. And this is what happened to Luther Tankersley in 1949. Ricky Don Tankersley, 2 years old at the time, had watched his father leave the house to go hunting with the family dogs. And Ricky wanted to be just like his father. He and his dog Checkers headed for the woods. Once the family realized Ricky was missing, they organized a search party and headed for the woods. It was February, and they needed to find the boy before the temperatures dropped. According to the Birmingham News, a National Guard unit was summoned, planes were used, and over 500 people began looking for Ricky Don with no luck. In desperation, Luther went to Mrs. Teal that night. She drew him a map showing where Ricky Don was. He went back to the woods, and could not find his son, so he returned to Ms. Rena. She said he did not go far enough, so Tankerly returned to the woods. This time he saw Checkers, who went missing with Ricky Don, and two of the other dogs, Blackie and Red, the coonhound. It was daylight now. The dogs started barking and ran in the opposite direction, trying to get the searchers to follow them. About 200 yards away, they came across Ricky Don, asleep on the ground. The dogs had laid on and around him during the night, keeping him warm when the temperatures dropped to almost freezing. He was in shock and suffered from exposure, but no worse for wear, considering he walked 5 miles and spent the night in near-freezing temperatures. As Ms. Rena became increasingly famous, her business continued to increase. There were always cars out front of the house, and she had visitors from as far away as Canada. She also became one of the wealthiest people in the area. Rena and her husband Ben were generous people and would help people in the community. They were one of the first to have a telephone and a TV. The money did not stay around. Ben was a farmer, and not a good one at that. He was also a big spender, buying the newest tractor or car. They never became destitute or anything like that, but he never created wealth like they could have. Ben and Irene Teal had been married for 51 years when she died on May 14, 1964 at 70. She's been gone for 60 years, but the folks in Clay County, Alabama, still tell the stories of Ms. Rena. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Alabama Short Stories Podcast. I'm happy to announce that Volume 2 of the Alabama Short Stories book is now available and features stories from Seasons 4 through 6. You can purchase it and Volume 1 online at Amazon.com and other online retailers. If you'd like to support your local bookstore, you can purchase it through bookshop.org, where your purchases will help financially support independent bookstores. You can find links in the show notes and on the website. See you next time at Alabama Short Stories.